Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we are only a couple weeks after the Feast of Tabernacles, which for most all of us is the highest and best time for us as the people in the church. And already we are immersed in the holidays of this world. It didn't take long from the time we got back to being immersed in the holidays in the world around us. I'm sure you've noticed, the same as I have, in all the Halloween decorations on the houses and in the stores around us. There's even a store up in Seals Grove that we noticed a couple days ago that opens just at the holiday time. It's a holiday Halloween specialty store. So they open it just around the Halloween time. And there's a house near us that we passed on the way here today that has a whole graveyard scene out in front of their house. They have witches and ghosts hanging in trees, and there's graveyards, and there's skeletons, and there's cats. I mean, they have it really lit up with all kinds of stuff. Jack-o'-lanterns sitting around. We used to get a break between the Feast of Tabernacles and Christmas time, but it doesn't seem like we do anymore. Halloween has become much bigger in recent years and much more popular than it used to be. I read some statistics that said that each year 70% of not kids but adults participate in Halloween in some way, and 80% of the households in this nation give out candy or treats at Halloween time. And as a party day, Halloween is third, only behind Christmas and the Super Bowl, as far as the parties that go on and amount of beer that is sold. I guess they decide how big a party it is by how much beer is sold. But it's third in the amount of beer sold, even above St. Patrick's Day. In many ways, Halloween is becoming a favorite of not just the kids, but adults as well across America. A time when they can shed their inhibitions and dress up in costumes and have a party. Seems like Halloween is getting bigger each year. I get the Snyder County Times, and I was reading the Snyder County Times yesterday, and as I was sitting in my library reading it, I came across a section called Halloween Happenings. There was a section, whole section in the Snyder County Times called Halloween Happenings, and there was a list of all kinds of local events. There was a haunted hayride, a trail of treats, a Halloween fun fest, and there was also several Halloween parties, even one at the Mac, that they're going to be having. A whole section devoted just to the local Halloween happenings that will be happening this week. So what is the big deal with Halloween? Well, many cultures have a form of Halloween in their traditions. It seems like most people in the world have a desire or want to desire to celebrate the dead or have a day that celebrates the dead. The holidays or feasts may vary from place to place, falling on different days and following different customs, but the common denominator is that they all want to honor or remember the dead or the unseen spirits. Mexico has a day they call the Day of the Dead that they celebrate in Mexico, where they go around and put out candies in the shapes of skeletons in the graveyards. In Japan, they honor different days to honor their ancestors. In certain African tribes, they set aside days to honor the unseen spirits as well. And in German, Scandinavian, Spanish, and Italian-speaking areas, they all have days that are similar to Halloween, days to honor the dead. And of course, in the English-speaking world, in English-speaking countries, we have Halloween. And Halloween is mainly derived from a Celtic festival called Samhain. I have a little bit of history on where Halloween came from. I'll just share it with you. You've probably heard much of this before, but I think it's good to review this as an introduction to my message today. Samhain is held on 3 days around November 1st. November 1st was considered the new year in Celtic times. So they had a new year celebration along with a harvest celebration all at one time. The Celts believed that these 3 days were special because of the transition from the old year to the new year. They felt that during this time that spirits would be able to go from the spirit world into the physical world and back and forth on this special time. But this idea that spirits were wandering around from the spirit world into the physical world scared some people, as well probably should. And people got scared. And it was because of the fact that they thought that the spirits were wandering, as I said, between the spiritual and the physical world. So they believed that they had to appease these spirits and to make them go away and to protect themselves from them. So what they did, of course, the Celtics would put out food and treats on their porches. hoping that the spirits would find these foods and treats and leave them alone. Take the treats and leave them alone without harming them. They thought that they could appease these spirits. And if they did that, that the spirits would not play tricks on them or curse them or inhabit their bodies. They are afraid that these spirits will come to the physical world and actually inhabit their bodies. But if they gave them treats, they would leave them alone. Of course, we can see that that's where the custom of trick-or-treating came from. The people also believed if you dressed up in terrifying costumes and went out carousing around with the spirits all night, that the spirits would think that you were one of them, and they would leave you alone that way too. And that's, of course, where the custom comes from, dressing up in all these terrible costumes and carousing around at night. They thought that if you looked like one of the spirits, they would think you were one of them and leave you alone. Whole villages would unite together and dress up as evil spirits to try to trick them. Seances were also held at this time of year to try to contact dead ancestors and speak with the dead. It became a tradition that during the 3 days of Samhain, that the laws and the rules by which people lived would be suspended. For those 3 days, there wouldn't be any laws. Laws would be unenforced. So the social order was turned upside down. Men dressed like women and women dressed like men. People took on different personas and dressed in disguises. And no work was done. It was just a time for partying, eating and drinking, and breaking the law. Sounds like not a lot has changed in the traditions, because that's exactly what goes on now. But then, of course, the Roman Catholic Church came on the scene. They arrived on the scene, and they wanted to convert all these pagans into the Catholic religion. And to get them to honor their dead saints, the dead Catholic saints, instead of honoring their dead ancestors, instead of all the pagan rituals. But the Celts wanted to continue on celebrating Samhain. I think they probably enjoyed that holiday, just as people enjoy it today. It was probably more fun than sitting in church praying for dead Catholic saints. I would imagine it was more fun. That's probably why they wanted to continue with it. So to keep them in the Catholic Church, the Catholics, of course, compromised. And in A.D. 835, Pope Gregory IV officially authorized moving what they called All Saints Day, which was a Catholic celebration in the spring of the year. They moved it to the fall of the year to coincide with the celebration of Samhain. They moved it to November 1st to coincide. They allowed the pagan Christians to keep their old customs as long as they put a hint of Christianity on it. Since then, Halloween has evolved into what it is in its present form, what we see today, with the fairies and the witches and the ogres and the goblins and the demons and the ghosts and the vampires, and on it goes. We all know what it is. The word Halloween actually has its origins in the Catholic Church, because it comes from the words All Hallows Eve, or All Hallows Day, which is what would be the evening right before All Saints Day, which I just said was moved to November 1st. So All Hallows Eve is what Halloween comes from. And then the pagan customs of Halloween were brought to this country. Of course, that happened in the 1840s when the Irish immigrants came to this country because of the potato famines. And it continues on to what it is today. Trick-or-treating is the most recognized part of the Halloween activities, and we already talked about where that came from and how that started. And now the little kids dress up like witches and ghosts and go out trick-or-treating. And they don't even realize that what they are doing is reenacting the same pagan customs that the Celts did back when they thought those evil spirits were crossing over from the spirit to the physical. And they thought that those evil spirits were going to come and inhabit them if they didn't leave them treats. It's not such a cute, innocent thing when you realize what the origins of all this really is. There's also the custom of bobbing for apples. Apples were considered a token of love and fertility. At Halloween parties, people bobbed for apples in tubs of water. If a boy came up with an apple between his teeth, he was assured that his girlfriend would love him. Apple seeds were also used to tell fortunes. And peeling an apple in one long piece was used to tell a young girl about her future. The girl would take an apple and peel it off and swing it around her head and throw it. And then if it landed in one piece, she would supposedly be able to look at the apple peeling and see the initials of her future husband. So that's where the apples get thrown into this mix. Owls and bats and cats and toads were all essential parts of Halloween as well, because they are known as the witches' familiars. A divining familiar was a species of animals whose shape Satan would assume to aid the witch in divining the future. Apparently, a witch would closely watch certain animals and the way they moved, whether it was fast or slow, and what direction the animal would move in and what sounds it would make, in order to foretell the future. And then there's the custom of the jack-o'-lanterns. Of course, we always see jack-o'-lanterns, little kids carrying around these jack-o'-lanterns. According to Wikipedia, the jack-o'-lanterns have several different origins, or could come from several different origins. There's a cute little story about where the jack-o'-lanterns come from, and maybe that's what most people tell their kids. There's a story about a man named Jack who tricked Satan into climbing a tree. This is how the fairy tale goes. Jack tricked Satan into climbing a tree. And then Jack carved an image of a cross on the tree's trunk and trapped the devil up the tree. So apparently the devil couldn't come down because there was a cross there. And then Jack made a deal with the devil that if he would never tempt him again, he would promise to let him down the tree. And according to this folk tale, after Jack died, he was denied entrance into heaven because of his evil ways. He was also denied access into hell because he had tricked the devil. Instead, the devil gave him a single ember of light that he was supposed to use to wander around in the frigid darkness. And he put that ember of light in a hollowed out turnip, and it glowed inside the turnip. Now that's the nice little story. I mean, it's not that nice, but that's the nice little story about where the jack-o'-lanterns come from. But there's a far more sinister history to the jack-o'-lanterns as well. The original origin of the jack-o'-lanterns was much more evil than just that. According to the National Geographic, an article in National Geographic, the Druids had a fascination with severed human heads. They decorated their houses and temples with the severed heads of their enemies. The Druids believed that the head housed the soul. So they would light a candle and put it inside a skull, and they believed that that was a soul inside the head. The original jack-o'-lanterns were not just pumpkins in those days, they were actual severed human heads. That's where it originally came from. The human head figured prominently in Celtic life. They hung the heads of their enemies around their horses' necks. When they went out to battle and killed people, they'd cut their heads off and put them around their horses' necks. And they brought them whole, they would nail the head to the entrance of their houses. The Druids believed that the head harbored the soul, as I mentioned. So they placed skulls in their porches and sanctuaries to ward off the evil spirits. Faces were carved into pumpkins because they gave jack-o'-lanterns the look of a head. Of course, jack-o'-lantern looks like a head. That's why they carved faces in them. Celts hollowed out turnips and carved in scary faces to fool the demons. They carried the lanterns to light the way in the darkness and to ward off evil spirits. I even read in one place that the Druids hollowed out the jack-o'-lanterns and filled them with human fat from human sacrifices, and burned that inside the jack-o'-lanterns. Whenever a raiding party would come and demand that someone inside be surrendered to human sacrifice, they would light a jack-o'-lantern filled with the human fat and set it on their porch. Then the lantern would tell the other raiding parties and evil spirits that this house had already surrendered someone for human sacrifice, and the remaining people inside were to be left alone. I even read that about firstborn children being sacrificed during this time of Samhain. So you can see the origins here are really horrible. And you can see, when you really look into the history, the correlation between some of the symbols we have today and some of the terrible things they did back at this time. People were even burned at the stake who were thought to have evil spirits living in them during this time of Samhain. This holiday of Halloween no longer seems so innocent and fun as people make it seem today. People say it is just for fun, and no harm can come from it. It's just for our kids to have a good time. But is that the truth? Satan worship, Wiccans, witches, psychics, fairies, astrology, tarot cards, elf, wizards, and on it goes around this time of year. And more, they have become part of our society through the movies, our movies that we watch, the TV shows that are on the TV show, the books, the Harry Potter books and movies, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Bewitched, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You can go on and on down the list of these types of movies and books that are just immersed in our society. They are more popular than they've ever been. Every daytime talk show on TV has psychics on it on a regular basis. I mean, it's not unusual at all to see what you would consider credible people or credible talk show hosts bring psychics on to do psychic readings in the audiences. They always make it seem very harmless by saying things like, well, your deceased mother just wants you to let you know that she loves you and everything's going to be okay. And your dead grandfather says he's looking over you and protecting you. You hear psychics say that sort of thing when they're during readings. It all seems very innocent, and it seems like it's just done to comfort those who have lost someone in the past. But how innocent is it really? But what really is odd, at least to me, is when I hear people say, and I hear this all the time, especially on TV, it seems like a lot of sports guys say this. They say, you know, if they lost their mother or father, especially their father, if they're a man, they'll say, I feel my dad looking over me. You know, at the game today, I could just feel my dad looking down on me, or I could feel him helping me out here today in this game. And it seems normal in our society to hear that type of thing. They say that they know they are looking out for them and helping them in a way in what they are doing because they can feel their presence. All these things may seem very harmless, and they may seem like they are just said to be helpful or comfort to those who lost loved ones. But what does God say about this type of thing? What does God think of Halloween and the occult and all the things that surround it? I would like to begin with a definition of the term occult. What is the occult? The occult is anything that involves dealing with the world of spirits or of supernatural forces that doesn't have anything to do with God and His Holy Spirit, because we know there is a world of spirits and there are supernatural forces. But if it has to do with things beyond God and beyond His Holy Spirit, it is considered the occult. And that definition can be very broad. It includes everything from blatant Satan worship to what would be very common in our newspapers, like horoscopes, things like seances and all forms of communication with the dead, like I just talked about, ESP and all forms of supernatural psychic phenomena, magic, fortune telling, the casting of spells, even wearing lucky charms like rabbit's foot, or the use of Ouija boards in astrology, and on it can go. What I would like to do this morning is to first show that Scripture strictly forbids God's people to be involved or even be associated in any way with these types of practices. And second, to show why we should stay away from this type of thing, not even be associated with it or anywhere near it. And third, to see what we should be doing instead of associating with these types of practices. So first, let's look at Scripture. What does it say about these types of practices? Turn to Deuteronomy. I'm going to start off in Scripture in Deuteronomy to see what God has to say about these types of practices. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 9 through 12. Here in Deuteronomy 18, Moses is addressing the people just before they cross over the Jordan River to enter the promised land and to drive out the pagan nations that are living in that land. So Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, Moses says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices deviation or sorcery, interprets omen, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or has a medium or spiritualist, or consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable or an abomination unto me. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. Now here Moses mentions eight what you could call occult activities here. Deviation, sorcery, interpreting omens, witchcraft, casting spells, medium, spiritualist, and one who consults with the dead. Some of the things I already mentioned. What all these things have in common is that they all involve trying to obtain knowledge. But not trying to obtain knowledge through God, trying to obtain knowledge through yourself and through evil spirits. They're all these things involve trying to obtain knowledge, but not through ordinary means. They're trying to obtain knowledge through dealing with the spirit world or supernatural forces. But there's something else that these eight activities have in common. The knowledge that they're trying to obtain, or the knowledge that they're seeking after, is not just because of curiosity. The knowledge they're seeking after through these supernatural means isn't just because they're curious. They're seeking this knowledge because they want to have power. They want to have some supernatural power beyond what they have as people, as mere physical people. In verse 11, it says that uses the term one who casts spells. So obviously someone who is casting spells is trying to obtain a power beyond their physical power. And it's not through anything from God. It's through other supernatural forces. When someone is trying to cast spells, they're trying to have a supernatural power over other people with that casting of spells. And they're trying to affect the future with that power. This is the goal, more or less, of all the activities that is listed here. Now, what does God say about these activities in these verses? Well, in verse 9, he calls it an abomination. Verse 9, he calls it an abomination. That means that God regards them as detestable, abhorrent, loathsome. An abomination is a very strong word. We should ask ourselves whether some seemingly innocent activity that we allow ourselves to be associated with, maybe we're not actively involved with, but we're associated with, does God see that as an abomination in his eyes? Second, in verse 12, the persons who do such things are called an abomination by God as well. It's not just the activity that's an abomination, but the people who partake in it is an abomination to God as well. Third, down in verse 10, the activities of the cult are ranked right up there with the burning of children and sacrifices. Verse 10 says, let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son and daughter in the fire. So apparently there were sacrifices of children going on then too. And these other things, these other practices or activities are ranked right up there with sacrificing children. Fourth, in verse 12, God destroys those who practice these things. God will destroy those who practice these things. Fifth, according to verse 9, we should not do these things or even imitate those who do them. Verse 9 says, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. So not only are we not to do them, we're not even to imitate them. We're not even to be associated with them. We're not even to be able to tacitly approve of it by being, you know, next to them or imitating them in some way. This is very strong. Not only don't do them, but also we are not even to learn to imitate them. Don't be in any way part of them or even associated with them. I think there is a danger when we start to accept this type of occult practices in our everyday life. Like in the books that we read or the movies that we watch, we always tend to talk about how sex and violence on TV shows and movies can affect our young people. We always say, oh, the sex and the violence, that's really affecting our young people. We need to shield them from watching or reading that type of thing. But in many ways, the movies and TV shows that glorify the occult and the practices that we just talked about are even more dangerous, I feel, than the violence and the sex that you see on television and movies. Because these practices are specifically designed to replace God. To replace God altogether. And to replace the power of His Holy Spirit with a power that comes from somewhere else. From demonic places. Number 6. According to verse 10, no one who practices these activities is to be allowed to stay among God's people. So anyone who practices or is associated with these activities is allowed to stay among God's people. Moses impresses on our minds the seriousness of the occult by saying that those who practice are not even found among God's people. And there are many other places throughout the New and Old Testament. I don't have time to go through them all, but these practices are repeated over and over again throughout the Old and New Testament as being an abomination to God. Just an example is in Leviticus 19, verse 26. It says, you don't need to turn. I'm just going to cite more examples here. Leviticus 19, verse 26, it says, you shall not practice augury or soothsaying. Leviticus 19, verse 31. It says, do not turn to mediums or wizards. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 6. If a person turns to mediums and wizards, playing the harlot after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut them off from among his people. So again, those who dabble in that will be cut off from God's people. So we have seen what God thinks about these practices of the occult. The second thing I wanted to cover today was I wanted to show you from Scripture why we should stay away from these things. We covered what God thinks about it, but why should we stay away? The first reason I have listed here is that we should stay away from the occult because it belittles God and it exalts man. That's one of the main purposes of the occult, to belittle God and belittle his power and to exalt man and to exalt man's power. Go back to Deuteronomy 18. Maybe you're still there in Deuteronomy, but Deuteronomy 18 verses 14 through 19 now I'm going to read. Deuteronomy 18 verses 14 to 19. Again, Moses talking about the nations that they are going to be replacing. Verse 14, The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery and deviation. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise you up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord your God or see his great fire any more, or we will surely die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words and their prophet who speaks my name. So God promises to raise up a prophet from among the people like Moses. And the point of this prophecy in Deuteronomy 18 is that God has appointed who he wants to appoint to reveal his will. And no other person or no other spirit should ever be sought after for his power, for their power, or for their will. In verse 14, Moses says, the nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery and divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. Verse 15 says, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet. God reveals to us through his scripture what he wants us to know. And he does not want us to seek after other sources of knowledge, other sources of power. And that's exactly what the occult offers. It offers other sources of power, evil sources of power. And when we turn, and when we turn from or go beyond that which he offers us and consult other mediums, we belittle God. We make his power less and the power of other sources higher. We're belittling God when we do that. Isaiah shows us in another place how stupid it is for people to claim that they rely on God but to seek after wisdom in other places. It's foolish to say that you rely on God and then seek after wisdom in other places. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Isaiah here says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spirits who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire after their God? So he's asking the question. Shouldn't you be inquiring after God and not these mediums or spirits? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Seems like a silly thing to do, but as I mentioned before, many, many, many do. Consulting mediums, tea leaves, fortune cookies, horoscopes, crystal balls, or even those magical eight balls that they have, or any other supernatural thing beyond God's word is wrong because it belittles God and belittles his power. And it belittles his ultimate authority by seeking authority in other places. When I read verses like this, it makes me think about the daytime TV shows, like I mentioned before, like Dr. Phil and Oprah. Not that I would ever watch any of these shows, but the other day when I was watching Dr. Phil, he had a group of psychics on his show. I actually did watch it, and he had a group of psychics on his show. There was like four or five of them. And he had them on the show, and he had them on there just for the reason to do readings for all the people there in his audience. And the psychics would say, one of them in particular, I remember, stood up and said, Well, I feel a name starting with the letter B, and I feel it coming from this side of the audience. There must have been 200 people there. He says, I just feel the name starting with the letter B on this side of the audience, he would say, coming from this side of the room. Does anyone out there know someone who has died with the first, with associated with the letter B, he would say. I mean, pretty broad. And of course, someone in the audience stood up and said, yeah, I know someone who died recently, started with the letter B. And then, of course, the psychic went on to say, well, he just wants to let you know that everything is okay. He's talking to me now, and he wants to let you know that everything is okay, and that he's watching over you and watching over your life. And of course, everyone was astonished at the psychic's ability to speak to dead people, including Dr. Phil. And Dr. Phil claims to be a Christian man. I've seen him many times. He always talks about how he's a Christian man, and he says that everything in his life is based on his faith. He says that. And then he brings on these psychics, and it makes you wonder what is going on. How someone who claims to believe in God and base his life on faith can also believe in the abilities of these psychics. It's really remarkable how easy it is to rationalize. How easy it is to rationalize being involved in the occult and their practices. Maybe not immersed like a Satan worshiper where you're completely off the deep end, but on the periphery, just somewhat involved or tacitly approving of or associated with in some way. It's very easy to rationalize that. And it's a good thing to remind ourselves to guard against it. The second reason we should stay away from the occult is because it is called harlotry by God. God considers those who seek after mediums and seek after psychics and this type of thing to be harlots. Turn over to Leviticus 20, verse 6. Leviticus 20, verse 6. It says, if a person turns to mediums and wizards, playing the harlot after them, I will set my face against that person. Consulting mediums is like committing adultery against God. Because Jesus Christ, we know, is the husband of the church. When we go after other sources for power, other sources for wisdom, other sources for knowledge, supernatural knowledge, we are like a husband cheating on his wife. Or a wife cheating on her husband, I guess, in this case. A harlot. And it says God will set his face against that person. The third reason we should stay away from the occult and its practices is because, and I think this is perhaps the most important reason we need to stay as far away as we can, is because it trivializes Satan and his demons. All the practices of the occult, especially nowadays, are done to trivialize Satan and his demons. The power and the evil intent of Satan and his demons should never be trivialized by any of us. Satan is very real, and his demons are very real, and their power should never be played around with or trivialized. We do not have a more dangerous foe than Satan. He is the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We have to stand against his schemes because he is scheming against us. He uses the appearance of innocent fun to lure us close enough so he can attack us. I believe that's a big part of what Halloween is. Satan is prowling around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. We should never take that lightly. And yet Halloween makes demonic terror seem fun and seem silly. And these movies that we watch make demonic power and the power of the occult seem fun or silly or something that we maybe even should seek after. All the fun in the costumes and the candy make light of the real danger of demonic possession. Think of all the entertaining movies and books that we read and that our kids read. And we say that they are only there to entertain them, nothing more. And think about all the fantasy games that they may play. That it's just for fun. We say they are harmless fantasy games. We just play them to have fun. It's not real. Making a game of it and pretending that it is harmless fun trivializes the very real existence of these powerful evil spirits. It serves no good purpose to trivialize our spiritual enemy. It only gives aid and comfort to Satan and his demons because he knows that he has a way in now by underestimating the danger and the damage that he can cause. There is no doubt that the occult and the things associated with it are on a rise in this nation. I think there is no doubt. We talked about that. Witchcraft, spell casting, contacting the spirits, paganism, and other cult beliefs and practices are more popular now than they have ever been in our society, in modern society anyway. There is currently a strong trend towards astrology and the occult. People desire to know more about the supernatural. People are not simply content to live their physical, materialistic lives. They want to reach into the unknown, into the supernatural. But they are not looking for God. When people refuse God, they tend to reach towards a substitute. And the substitute can be the occult in these practices. Occult activity, including astrology and New Ageism, have been on the increase. I mean, we can see ads even on television about the 1-900 numbers. You see them all the time. Call 1-900, whatever it is, and talk to an astrologer. She will tell you about what you should do in your life and what you should base your decisions on according to your astrological signs and the positioning of the stars and the planets. But another big area where the cult realm is growing is in the realm of fiction and fantasy, as I mentioned. Young people especially are drawn into this fiction and this fantasy in other areas of the occult by becoming interested in the fictional aspects first. Once they become interested or drawn into the stories and the special effects and all this about these movies and books and games that they play, it is much easier for them to jump completely into it later on. And to kind of show that or to prove that out, I found on the internet here a couple quotes from a book. Now, this book is called Wiccan Wisdom Keepers. That's the name of the book, Wiccan Wisdom Keepers. And this is a quote from an actual priestess in the Wiccan religion. It's a quote in this book called Wiccan Wisdom Keepers from a priestess. Her name is Patricia Morrison. And this is a quote directly from this book. Yeah, well, as it turns out, this Patricia Morrison was actually married to Jim Morrison, the famous Doors guy. But this is a quote from the book about her. It says, Patricia Morrison doesn't train people formally, but many have been introduced to her witchcraft and paganism through her memoir, Strange Days, and her science fantasy series, The Celtland. I consider that I've made the craft accessible to people who would never have read a book about witchcraft per se, but who would read a fantasy novel or a memoir of life about a rock star. It's my way of sneaking around to the back door and then holding it open for them to come inside. Now, that's a quote directly from a witch, a priestess in the Wiccan religion in this book, a direct quote. As well as the fantasy books, there are a number of television shows, as I mentioned, and films that make the occult practices seem cool, seem like something that maybe young people want to do. In the past, it seemed like witches were the ugly old women, the evil people in the story, the wicked witches. But nowadays, they are portrayed as the opposite, as young, glamorous, beautiful women who are successful and have everything that they could want or anything that you could want. One example of that is a TV show called Charmed, where there's three young sisters who learn about the history of witchcraft through their family and then discover the magical powers, and they use that powers. But they use it for seemingly good ways. They use it in seemingly good ways. So that draws in our young people saying, well, maybe this isn't so bad. They're using it for good. And these are good-looking young women, so it can't be bad. Another equally popular television show is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And this show is filled with witchcrafts, spells, demons. And again, it's portrayed in a positive light, in a positive way. I'd like to share another quote from that same book now, The Wiccan Wisdom Keepers. Another quote from that book says, paganism is drawing so many young people at present, as can be seen by the media's interest in it in television and film, it is destined to become a major force in the religious world by the end of the 21st century. So even the people who practice this type of thing recognize that they're going after the young people, and that it is growing faster than one of the fastest growing religions in the world. They are targeting our young people. They even admit it in their own writings that they are targeting our young people. So the third main point today, the third main point for us today was what should we be doing instead of associating with this type of activity. We talked about what God thinks about it. We talked about why we should not be involved in it or even associated with it. Now let's talk about what we should be doing instead of it. What power should we be seeking after instead of seeking after this power? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. It's a very short verse. And I'm going to read it here from the King James Version. It says, abstain from all appearances of evil. Now that's a pretty simple statement. Abstain from all appearances of evil. But what does that phrase really mean? Abstain from all appearances of evil. The word abstain is a verb that means to hold oneself from. So what we have here is a command to pull yourself away from something, to abstain from it, to not even be associated with it, to draw back from something, to not even go near something. Paul is telling us to pull away from everything that appears to be evil. He is telling us to withdraw from all types of evil. Proverbs 8, verse 13, you don't need to turn to this, but Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Today, the occult is dressed up in a creative costume and is shown as being harmless fun for our young people. The world calls it harmless fun, but obviously the scriptures call it evil, and it is evil in the sight of God. Halloween and the occult come from paganism, which just is another term for demonism. And it is evil, even if it is presented in a fun way. And yet the country seems to enjoy this annual time of reveling in this type of activity with the witches and the vampires and the werewolves and the skeletons and the ghosts and so on. They have no problem indulging in the occult. And as I mentioned before, the occult is on the rise in this country. And the acceptance of these practices in our culture is very dangerous. I think it is yet another example of our nation turning its back on God. I think you can see it in so many different ways how this nation has turned its back on God. And this is a glaring example. The last time I was here and gave a sermon, I talked about how this nation is suffering because of how it's turned its back on God in different ways. And this is just another example. The spiritual state of our country is so bad that there is no longer any attempt to conceal it. No longer any attempt to conceal the pagan origins of Halloween or any attempt to conceal the real reasons behind many of these TV shows and movies and books that are written. We just read some quotes that say that. They're not trying to conceal it. And I think the results can be seen all around us in the horrible behavior of many of our young people and the horrible crimes that many of them seem to commit. If we fear God, if we respect Him, and if we respect what He stands for, then we must also oppose all that He opposes. We must be against everything He is against, which certainly includes anything that is associated with the evil one and his evil spirits. That includes anything to do with Halloween, anything to do with the occult, even if they are made to seem harmless through things like psychics on TV or horoscopes and astrology or lucky charms or fantasy books that dabble in the occult or movies or TV shows that glamorize witches and magic. Or games that put players in the roles of spellcasters and sorcerers. These may seem trivial and harmless, but we have already seen how dangerous it is to trivialize the power, the very real power, that Satan and his demons have. That's perhaps one of the most important points of the message today, is we should never trivialize the power that Satan has and his demons really do have. We make fun of it, we make light of it, but the power is real. We should hate whatever God hates. And God hates everything to do with the occult. Turn over to Isaiah one more time. Isaiah chapter 5. Here Isaiah is talking about this issue once again. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness. You can see that statement come to light in many of these television shows that put light for darkness and darkness for light, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Our society has a tendency to do this. And if we are not careful, we can let it creep into our lives as well, especially into the lives of our youngest people, our younger members. It's easy to allow it to creep into their lives because, as we already talked about, it's targeted directly towards them. Our society says, what is right and wrong is up to you. You can decide. What is good for you may not be necessarily good for me, and what is bad for you may not necessarily be bad for me. But of course, that is a lie. That's a lie directly from Satan. That's not the truth. This is the same lie that caused Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, because she thought she could decide what was right and wrong. And that is the same lie that will bring judgment onto any of us who buy into it. Now, I know that none of us would outright say, come out and say, that statement, that what is right and wrong is up to us. None of us would say that. But we still must be careful not to let that idea creep slowly into our lives when our guard is down. You may say, well, we have the Word of God to rely on. We have God's Word to rely on. But so did Adam and Eve. They had God's Word to rely on. And yet they still allowed themselves to decide what was right and wrong for themselves. They left that idea of what is right and wrong is up to you creep into their lives. We also have the Word of God. We have the Bible, which clearly tells us what is good and what is evil. And yet we could let that idea of what is right and wrong is up to you creep into our lives as well. The same thing could happen to us that happened to Adam and Eve. The same thing could happen to our young people that are here with us if we are not keeping our guard up at all times, especially during this time of the year. So in conclusion, this is the time of the year when you see the stores filled with the witches and the goblins and the ghosts and the skeletons and the black cats and the jack-o'-lanterns and the rest of it. And as we discussed, there is a major push in our society towards things of the occult and Satan worship. I think there's no doubt about that. And our young people are being specifically targeted. We read quotes from actual witches who say they are specifically targeting our young people. We covered three major points in our sermon here today. First, that God hates everything to do with the occult. It is an abomination unto Him. And we have read that the scriptures forbid God's people from being involved in any way or even associated with these practices in any way. Second main point from today was, why should we stay away from it? Why should we stay away? Well, because it belittles God and exalts man above God. And because it is considered harlotry by God. And most importantly, because it trivializes the real power that Satan has and his demons have. We trivialize it with fun and costumes and parties. But there is a real power. Now, Satan probably just loves it when he's trivialized that way, because that gives him an in, a way in. Third main lesson we learned today was that we should be doing instead of being involved in these activities. What should we be doing instead? And that is to abstain from all appearance of evil. We should abstain from all appearances of evil. We should abstain from any association at all with this type of evil, with these types of activities. Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So let's hate what God hates. And God hates everything to do with the occult.